Well, good morning, everyone. And it's good to be with you. For those who don't know me, my name is Mike Sledge, and I'm just down the motorway from Worcester, and I worship at Wood Green Church in Worcester. But it's great to be with you this morning. I'm now going to read the scriptures before I speak, and our reading is 2 Peter and chapter 1. So, 2 Peter chapter 1. Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who through the righteousness of our God and Saviour Jesus Christ have received a faith as precious as ours. Grace and peace be yours in abundance through the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ our Lord. His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. Through these, he has given us his very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption in this world caused by evil desires. For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness, knowledge, and to knowledge, self-control, and to self-control, perseverance, and to perseverance, godliness, and to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But if anyone does not have them, he is short-sighted and blind, and has forgotten that he has been cleansed from past sins. Therefore, my brothers, be all the more eager to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never fall, and you will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. So, I will always remind you of these things, even though you know them and are firmly established in the truth you now have. I think it is right to refresh your memory as long as I live in the tent of this body, because I know I will soon put it aside, as our Lord Jesus Christ has made clear to me. And I will make every effort to see that after my departure, you will always be able to remember these things. Let's just have a moment of prayer. Lord, as we heard those words written by the Apostle Peter, we're conscious that he wants us to remember the great truths of our faith. He wants us to act on those truths, and he wants us, Lord, to have the assurance of the great blessing, the great future that lies ahead of us. And so we pray that through your Spirit, you will speak to each one of us, to encourage us, to challenge us, whatever we may need. Lord, Holy Spirit, speak to us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, Peter, who's the writer of the letter that we've just been looking at, is well known to us because, of course, he was the leader of the 12 disciples during Jesus' life. And in the Gospels, we see Peter as, well, a man of good intentions, of weaknesses and strength, but often impetuous, the sort of chap who would put his foot in it very often. And so perhaps we can identify with him in the way that he was, the flawed leader that he was at that time. But as we join Peter now in the letter that he wrote to Peter, he's now much older. It's probably 30, 40 years. He's got his bus pass now, if they have them in those days. And what's more, Peter knows that he has not got very long to live, because Christians at that time were being violently persecuted. Many were being put to death for their faith. And in fact, while Jesus was still on earth, Jesus had warned Peter that he would one day die a martyr's death. Peter reminisces about that briefly in the words I read in verse 14. The Lord Jesus has made it clear to me, he says. And he remembers the fact that Jesus said in almost the last conversation they'd had while Jesus was on earth, he'd told Peter that he too would one day face crucifixion. And so as he writes his letter, Peter is conscious that the time about which Jesus was speaking, in other words, his death by crucifixion, is coming very close. That time is fast approaching. Did you notice while I read that he expresses that thought in a very striking way? He said, as long as I live in the tent of this body, because I know I will soon put it aside. He knows that his life left on this earth is limited, and therefore he writes his letter, the first bit of which we've just read. It's almost his last words. Over a number of years as a leader of the church, he's gathered much wisdom. And so the question is, what does he want to write to the Christians in the local churches? What does he want them to hear in this, his last letter? Well, he says in verse 12, I will always remind you of these things. As he writes this letter, Peter isn't setting out to teach anything new. He's not trying to encourage his readers to branch out in ways that they've not gone before. His concern is to remind them. He wants to emphasize basic truths to them. In verse 13, he says, I think it is right to refresh your memory. I'm sure if you're like me, we forget things very often, and even things about our faith. We don't forget them, but perhaps they sometimes get pushed to the back of our minds more than they should. And Peter writes to them, and therefore to us, I want to refresh your memory. So what was it that Peter wanted to remind these believers to whom he wrote? Well, to help us remember the points that come in this section of the letter, I'd like to use a simple illustration. I don't know whether you often buy sandwiches from sandwich shops and places like that. When I'm away from home, I quite often have to pop in and buy sandwiches. But sometimes, I haven't seen it recently, but sometimes when you go into a shop, you see the sandwiches advertised as deep fill sandwiches. Deep fill, one or two of you nodding, so you know what I'm talking about. And a deep fill sandwich, of course, you've got a slice of bread on the top, a slice of bread on the bottom, and lots of filling in between, whether it's a chicken tikka or tuna mayo or whatever your thing is. The sandwich is full of goodies in the middle. It's deep filled, and of course, when you come to eat it, it's quite a job to get it into your mouth sometimes. But what Peter writes is like a deep filled sandwich. A slice of bread on the top, a slice of bread on the bottom, and the filling, which is the most important part of what he wants these believers to remember as he writes to them. In summary, he wants his readers to remember three things. First slice of bread, he wants them to remember what they already have, what God has already given to them in Jesus. That's the first thing. The deep filling in the sandwich that Peter wants them to remember, he wants to remind them how they should live out their faith. He wants to make sure that they are active in living out their faith. And finally, the lower slice of bread in the sandwich, he wants to remind them of their sure future destination. So that's the substance of Peter's sandwich that he presents to us in these verses. So his first point, the top layer of bread, is this. He encourages the Christians to remember what we already have in Christ, what God has already done for us. That's where Peter starts his letter, and that's where we, as God's people, must also always start. Look to the Lord and what he has done for us. The Christian faith doesn't begin with us and what we can do. It begins with God and what he has done for us already through Jesus. Verse 3 reminds us that God has called us. And our Christian life began when we responded to that call. For some, perhaps it was a sudden conversion. For others of us, it was a gradually developing understanding that, yes, God had his hand on our lives and needed a response. God forgave us our sins as a result of Jesus' sacrifice on the cross. And Peter wants his readers not to forget or ever to lose sight of that basic truth. He comments in verse 9 that we read, he comments that some were forgetting that they have been cleansed from past sins. So he wants them to remember the essence of what Jesus has done. The Christian life is not about you and me trying to make ourselves good enough for God. It's about God reaching down to each one of us and saying, come, follow me, and forgiving us so that we can be accepted by him. And so, as we look into this letter, the first slice of bread, Peter is concerned that we should never forget what God in his grace has done for us, what God in his grace gives to all who believe. Our faith brings us into a personal relationship with God through Jesus. And we become, in the words of Peter, we become participants of the divine nature because the Holy Spirit lives in each one of us. But that begins to turn Peter's thought to the deep filling in the sandwich. He says we have everything that we need to live a life that pleases God. And at the start of his letter, he reminds us of two things: that God has given us his power through the Holy Spirit, and he has given us great and precious promises through in the Bible. So there are two things that God has given to us to help us to live out our faith. And so Peter moves on to the deep filling in his sandwich, to remember how we should live out our faith. In other words, to live godly lives. And that's the main thing on Peter's heart as he writes to the Christians and to us. Verse 4a says this: through these he has given us his great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature. Jesus has called each one of us to follow him, and his aim is to make us more and more like him. I can't remember who originally said this, but someone said, Jesus loves us so much that he accepts us as we are, but he cares for us so much that he doesn't want us to stay as we are. God has given us everything that we need so that we can live godly lives. And that's the challenge, that's the deep filling in the sandwich that Peter brings as a challenge to us today. Twice in this very short passage, he uses a striking phrase. He says, make every effort. Verse 5, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and so on. I'll come back to that in a moment. But in verse 10, he also says, make every effort to confirm your calling. It's a challenge to us for commitment to our faith. Let's look at the examples that Peter gives. In verse 5, he says, for this reason, make every effort to add to your faith. And then he gives some suggestions as to what that looks like. There are in fact seven in these passages. Seven things that maybe we need to allow the Holy Spirit to challenge us as to how much effort we are making to show these qualities in our lives. He begins with goodness. Goodness. In other words, kindness, generosity, honesty. Is that the sort of thing that other people, perhaps those in our family, would characterize, would recognize in our lives? Goodness is one of the qualities that Peter wants to see growing in each of our lives. The second one he mentions is knowledge, getting to know Jesus better. Do we feel we know the Lord and love the Lord more than we did, say, a year ago, 5 years ago? Are we growing in knowledge? He mentions self-control, the ability to focus on the task in hand and to keep a cool head when unexpected things, even tragic things, difficult things happen to us. Self-control, is that something that marks out the quality of our lives? He goes on from there to mention perseverance. Perseverance, that's something I know I need to grow in. But perseverance, keeping going when it's tough. Not giving up on people or situations when there are disappointments or discouragements. Is that a quality that's growing in each of our lives? And then he comes on to godliness. Godliness, becoming more like Jesus in the way that we live, the way that we speak, the way that we act. Mutual affection, the bond that exists between friends and families. Is that something that's growing? But even more important, he concludes with the quality of love. Love. Love your enemy. Love your neighbour as yourself. This is my command, said Jesus, that you love one another just as I have loved you. And I suppose if we were to summarise this deep filling in Peter's sandwich, it's this, that our lives should show godliness and commitment in love to each other. We must make every effort to show these qualities in our lives. They don't just happen. It needs on our part to make every effort. And all the more so as we see standards in society round about us basically falling away. It's important that we show that because of Christ within us, we are different people. But how? How do we grow in these qualities? How do we make every effort that these qualities grow in our lives? Well, Peter gives us two answers in this passage at the start. The first one is in verse 3, and he says this. His divine power, God's divine power, has given us everything that we need for life and godliness. His power has given us everything that we need. To live godly lives, to grow in the qualities that Peter has mentioned, we need the power and help of the Holy Spirit. God gives us the strength we need to show commitment and to become more like Jesus. Now, I'm sure most of you here have, even if you can't do so now, most of us here have driven cars. And we know what it's like to drive a car. When we perhaps want to go round a corner, we turn the steering wheel, and sure enough, round the corner the car goes, all very easily. But of course, we can forget when we're actually turning that wheel that cars these days have power assistance. If you've ever driven any kind of tractor or something like that that doesn't have power assistance, you know it's really hard work to grab the wheel and to wrestle with the wheel to take it round a corner. But our cars have power assistance to help us when we turn the steering wheel. And that's a picture of how God's Holy Spirit works in our lives. I have to turn the wheel. The car doesn't automatically go round corners, at least not yet. That may happen in the future, but at the moment we still have to drive them and to turn the wheel. But as we do so, the power steering kicks in automatically. And that's a picture of how the Holy Spirit helps us and strengthens us in our Christian lives. We have to make every effort to develop in goodness, but at the same time, the Holy Spirit gives us his power assistance to help us and to make us grow more like Jesus. In other words, we work together with the Holy Spirit. We make every effort, but the Holy Spirit gives the power assistance to work it all through. He does the heavy lifting, but we must play our part too. As it were, we have to turn the wheel before the power assistance kicks in. And so in our Christian living, the Holy Spirit gives us his power. Sometimes that happens, perhaps often that happens, without us being particularly aware of it. The Holy Spirit indwells us. He gives us that power when we do what we need to do. But other times, of course, we know that we need his help. We consciously ask for it and pray for it. But in either case, we make every effort and the Holy Spirit provides the power steering for us. So, one of the things that God has done for us to help us live profitable and productive lives as Christians is to give us his power through the Holy Spirit. But in the passage, he reminds us of a second important help too. And in verse 4, he says this, God has given us his very great and special and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature. God gives us his power. God gives us his promises. And in particular, he gives us promises about the future. And so having had the first slice of bread, the first part of the sandwich, what God has done for us, we've thought about the deep filling in the sandwich, how we live out our faith, we come to the final part of the sandwich, the promises that God gives us about the future. And I really love verse 11 in the passage. It's a verse that's well worth savouring. It says this, Peter says, you will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. You will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. We have a great future ahead. We will be welcomed into heaven. We will hear those words, well done, good and faithful student, as well done, good and faithful servant. And how do we know? Because God has promised it. We receive power through the Holy Spirit, who gives us the power steering in our Christian lives, but we also have God's promises, and they encourage us to keep going, because we know the security and the certainty of the future that lies ahead for us. This life can be tough. It can be discouraging. And that's why God gives us promises about the future to hold on to cling on to, and to look forward to encourage us on. As I said at the start, Peter was an old man when he wrote these words, and he knew that death would come to him almost at any time. I've already pointed out the verse that says, "I know that I will put my tent aside." This life that he lived and that we live is only temporary. But Peter was ready and prepared for the next life, and so should we be too. For Peter, death meant hope. Of course, death does mean parting, and the process of death can be very hard. It can involve a lot of suffering, the process of death. But nonetheless, death for Peter meant hope, because it's a doorway into the perfect home that God has prepared for us. Our home is not in Gloucestershire or Worcestershire or whichever side of the border you happen to live. Our permanent home is in heaven with Jesus. And that's one of the great promises that the Bible gives us time after time after time, so that we're absolutely sure about that great fact. And when we get there, the Lord's presence will be complete and all-embracing. He will fill our hearts and our minds. And that should encourage us as we prepare ourselves now for our future in heaven by living the godly lives that glorify God. So Peter has given us a sandwich as he opens his letter. He wants to make sure that after his departure, we will always remember these things. We won't lose sight of them in the other things that we have to do in our lives. He's reminded us that our faith begins with what God has done for us through Jesus. And let's never forget the wonder of God's grace, no matter what our circumstances may be. And then in the deep filling, Peter challenged us to live out our faith by living godly and Christ-like lives. That involves commitment. It involves, on our part, making every effort. But the Holy Spirit who lives within us gives us the power that makes up for our own weakness. And finally, Peter reminds us about the great and precious promises that God has given to us, particularly in the future. We will be richly welcomed into the eternal kingdom of our God and Saviour, Jesus Christ. And that promise can encourage us to keep living godly lives that glorify our Saviour. Amen. Tom, what's the closing hymn?
In Christ Alone.
In Christ Alone, yeah, lovely. So we stand for our final hymn.
Drought and storm, what heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are stilled, when striving cease. My comforter, my all in all, here in the love of Christ I stand. Christ alone. He took on flesh, fullness of God in helpless babe. This gift of love and righteousness, scorned by the ones he came to save. Till on that cross as Jesus died, the wrath of God was satisfied. For every sin on him was laid, here in the death of Christ I live. There in the ground his body lay, light of the world by darkness slain, and bursting forth in glorious day, up from the grave he rose again. And as he stands in victory, since curse has lost its grip on me, for I am his and he is mine, bought with the precious blood of Christ. Guilt in life, no fear in death, this is the power of Christ in me. From life's first cry to final breath, Jesus commands my destiny. No power of hell, no scheme of man, can ever pluck me from his hand. Till he returns or calls me home, here in the power of Christ I'll stand.
Let's pray together as we stand. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for everything that you have done for us in Christ. And we thank you, Lord, that we are able to sing the words of that song, knowing that they are true within our own lives. Thank you for all that you have done for us. Thank you for our forgiveness. Thank you for our new life. Thank you for the power you give us through the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord, too, for the challenge you give to us to live godly lives. Thank you, Lord, that it is your purpose to make us more like Jesus as we make every effort to grow in the qualities that your Spirit gives to us. And thank you too, Lord, that we have that sure hope that we will one day be with you in heaven, fully in your presence. All suffering and sin will be past, and we shall be able to worship you fully and glorify your name forever. Thank you, in Jesus' name. Amen.